Ready to go further or take your ambitions to the next level? It's time to commit to curiosity with a postgrad at UL. Whether you want to enhance your career opportunities or pivot to a new one, University of Limerick has a diverse range of full-time, part-time and short postgraduate programmes designed to set you up for success. Go further and commit to curiosity at ul.ie. That's ul.ie.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Could you go an entire year without spending any money on luxuries? That means no takeout coffees, Netflix subscriptions, nothing. Well, a woman and her family took on the challenge and did just that. Kel Gallivan is a money coach and joins us on the line now. Kel, good afternoon. How are you today?
I am good, Tom. How are you?
Very good. So you better say you weren't a money coach before this.
I most definitely wasn't. I was a scientist, so how I ended up here.
I have to say, the story of what you went through prior to this, it's a scary story, isn't it?
Do you know what? I don't think my story is very different to a lot of other people out there in Ireland. Because like my original story would have started back in the last recession. You know, we all thought we were going to get on the property ladder and we're paying all these big prices for houses. And I was one of the people who bought right at the very, very top. And I remember thinking, because my now husband, I think, oh, cool, we're starting out. We have our lives set up. You know, we're on the property ladder. This is the beginning of a great thing. And a couple of months later, we had this house that we couldn't live in a ghost estate worth half what we bought it for. The company he'd worked with for 15 odd years had folded like so many other companies. And suddenly we were left with like no money, a giant mortgage. We were renting a place that we had two small kids. And it was, I do think a lot of people were in a similar situation, but that.
No, I think you're right. I think a lot of people were, but it's still for you, very scary situation to be in. What did you do? Did you sit down? Was there a moment where you had to kind of think, right, we have to get out of this? How did you move forward?
Yeah, well, like we had to sit down because like sometimes people think, oh, if you've debt, it's because you've done something wrong. But a lot of the time it's not necessarily gone and bought yourself loads of coffees and things and you've just wasted your money. Sometimes life just happens. And I think we were in that kind of position. So I remember just feeling really vulnerable because it had caught us off guard. We thought we were starting out our lives.
Yeah.
So we sat down and we said, okay, well, first of all, we have to pay money back to the bank for this mortgage of a house. We did sell it for half what we bought it for, but we had to carry that debt with us. So we both kind of threw ourselves into work. And I had managed to keep my job through the recession. So I kind of became the breadwinner. So for years and years, it was all about, you know, paying down this debt just so we could get breathing space so we could save to actually get a house for ourselves and get out of the renting side of things. And we did that. And like it was a tough few years and the kids were growing up and stuff. But I found during that time, I found I was always working. And I think I nearly took on if I'm allowed to say, the traditional male role, in the sense I was the breadwinner and I was just away and I just felt I was always commuting. And I wasn't seeing my kids at all. And I know a lot of people go through this, but I remember one week particularly went past and I hadn't seen them awake at all, Tom. Right. Like I was leaving in the morning, they were asleep. I was coming home in the evening, they were asleep. And I kind of, this is not what I signed up for. Like we're not working this hard just to have them passing through.
No. And that's a special time. That's a special time, years that you're never going to get back and all of that kind of stuff. So what did you do then?
Yeah, well, look, it's important to earn money, right? We have to earn money. But so we sat down and we looked at all our incomings, outgoings, that sort of thing. And I said, okay, well, what if I did take a year back? Just step back. How would we manage it? And it would be really tight. And I said, okay, let's just give it a shot because I really wanted that more than anything. So after 16 years in a job, I handed in my notice. Scariest thing I ever did in my entire life. And I walked away. And we started the no spend year because I thought if I was going to cut our income in more than half, I was going to make what we did have coming in work as hard as it possibly could. So I wrote this manifesto. I said, I'm going to try this, open my first social media account because I need to be kept accountable. And the rest is kind of history in many ways.
What was it like then? What kind of stuff did you have to cut out?
Okay. So, and I'm not necessarily advocating people run out and do all these things, but for me to have that year at home, I needed to do it. So everything that we didn't need. So we kept all the needs and we got rid of the wants. So for me, I stopped dyeing my hair. Now that was tough. I stopped going and getting my nails done and things. We stopped eating out and takeaway coffees. I personally didn't buy clothes for the year. Now we did, obviously, look, we had young kids and it was like a whole year out of their childhood. They were 5 and 8 at the time that we did it. So we did have an allowance for them and we were just really careful with what we bought. We made sure they had enough and we gave them their pocket money each week so that they could buy, you know, their sweets or their treats or their toys, because you couldn't cut back on absolutely everything. So I had to be very measured with what we did. But then I tried to keep everything else as normal as we could, just while being really careful with all our spending and making sure that when we were spending, it was worthwhile.
And you managed to have a holiday.
Yes. So the scientist in me loves a good experiment. So we did. But I also believed it had to be as normal a year as we could make it. Because if not, it wasn't going to be real. It had to be a livable year. So we ended up doing the same holiday as we had done the previous year. So we got this exact same self-catering accommodation in the exact same town, obviously exact same accommodation, pretty much the exact same week. We went with the same family. We did a lot of the same things, but we focused more on being outside, being at the beach, bringing picnics with us. I'd given up alcohol for the year as well. And that holiday ended up costing us half what it had the year before.
What was the hardest bit, would you say, during it?
The hardest bit, I'll be honest, some of it was the vanity side, like the dyeing my hair. I've dyed my hair, I think, since I was about 13 years old. And I'd actually even forgotten what color it was. So when it started growing out, I actually realized, Tom, I was going gray. And I didn't even know I was going gray. So that was really tough because I could see it growing out. But now that it has, I've decided to keep it. I've just embraced it. I actually quite like the handiness of not dyeing it now. But as it was growing out, that was very, very tough.
Was there a good side to it?
Do you know what? There was. There was a lot of positive things that I had not accounted for. So, for example, I would have been part of how many other people who were commuting day in, day out on those motorways with your giant car park sometimes. And I found that because I was away so much, I didn't really get to make friends or meet friends. I had friends, don't get me wrong, but like to have the carve out the time to see them or have proper downtime or relaxing time. And during that year, I actually had for the first time in years, because I've worked all my life like so many other people, that I actually had time to slow down and you know, invite people over for coffee or, you know, have people over to our house for dinner or meet people for a walk. Or so that social side was absolutely brilliant for us. That the other side of it was, we as a family had more breathing space because I was around the house more. And the kids, they actually loved having a parent to come home to.
Yeah. Did they mind? There must be moments where they weren't getting the subscriptions on TV or something that other kids had, or maybe birthdays weren't what they normally were. There must have been times when you felt, oh God, what am I doing?
Oh, look, nothing is perfect. Like in life, it's all about trade-offs and trying to pick the best trade-off you can possibly make for your family at that time. So yes, we did change things a lot. So, I mean, at that age, they were in the full-on I want phase of life. Now, that tends
that never to ends change. As far as I can see.
It doesn't. But they were in the not fully understanding I want phase. So I did make a point of giving them their pocket money. So that was a treat every week for they could go and buy their magazines or sweets or whatever. So that was a big thing. For their birthdays and stuff, we, instead of going to maybe, you know, one of the out and about places, we brought people over to our house and we cooked everything from scratch and we played loads of games and stuff. So like they had their birthdays and things marked. But actually an interesting thing that I wasn't expecting either was with their pocket money. So I gave them their age in pocket money, but I told them that they had to break it into three sections because I did not want my kids ending up with the low literacy that I had starting out in life. So I told them, okay, I said, right, three parts. One part for spending now, because you have to enjoy life now. One for saving. So if they wanted a particular game or something like that, they could save up a bit for it. And the other part was for charity, or as I like to call it, this is your introduction to tax. And so with that, they had to put that into a particular jar. And the idea was they would give, you know, that charity money away, but they had full choice over where that charity was. And I remember they picked out a local animal charity, and the time came said, right, okay, we're going to hand some of this over and just get the feeling for, because they didn't get it fully at that stage. So I drove them down to the animal shelter, and the people in there, they were so nice. They let the kids walk around, see the animals, they handed over the money, and they were buzzing after it. They were like, this is the best thing ever. And it was a thing I wasn't expecting to be so nice. And it's one of their big memories of the year of, do you remember the time we went down and we gave the money and we saw the animals and the cat with the one eye or whatever it was?
Amazing. How amazing. And you retrained, and your husband did too. And I'm afraid, sadly, we haven't the time to go into that. But I really need to get you back another day to talk about that, because it seems like you recalibrated and focused inside on what you wanted to do as well, in a kind of strategic way too, which is kind of another story that equally fascinating. But Kel, thank you very much for joining us. That's an incredible insight to how that year went for you. I think there'll be some people out there who's going to stop spending on the strength of it, I think, listening to that. Thanks very much for joining us, Kel. Lovely talking to you.